Let's open our Bibles tonight, brothers and sisters, going back into the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon. And last week, we left off, praise God, and really, we didn't leave. We leave off in there, those five mountaintops. And I thank the Lord, He's making it so real to us. And thank the Lord that, you know what, we don't think these things strange. I mean it, as the Holy Ghost continues to minister these things to our lives, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something, the faith of the Son of God that lives in you, that's the faith of the Son of God that lives in you, your life. Be bold in it, believe in that. It's amazing. And the transformation that's happening in our lives, that, praise God, you said these things would be so. Again, by your grace, strengthen us to walk in them. That, again, we see these things, but Lord, help me to embrace these mountaintops that you've taken me to, that I'm in, and that I know I need to venture through till Jesus come. So we thank God for this. And brothers and sisters, it's a powerful work of divine grace, as we know, in these mountaintops of grace that we spoke on last week. And God help us to always go willingly and joyfully. And see, I don't really believe we ever really go up there, we're talking about, into these places, unless it is willingly and joyfully, unless we really see the bridal truth. See, this is the finishing. This is that divine time that he'll have us in the mountains of lions and in the mountain ranges of the leopards. And God, again, he takes her there and she goes with him. He says, he doesn't force her to go there, does he? He says, look with me. He says, come with me. This is truly the gifts of due benevolence. You know, as it says in the Word of God, wasn't just given on our behalf to believe on him, but to suffer for his name. And brothers and sisters, that's the suffering you take on when you take on the name of bridegroom. And we understand that's the suffering, that's the wife that has made herself ready, that has taken on that suffering now, that again is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And thanking God again for the privilege that again he's counted us worthy because of the blood of the Lamb to walk in this and to walk in these before ordained good works. Praise the Lord for this opportunity we have. But brothers and sisters, it requires this joint reigning, as brother just prayed, that we would suffer together with him, that we might be glorified together with him. We know that that's such a tremendous encouragement to us in Romans 8:17. But then as we got into verses 9 and 10 last week, he tells her again of her beauty. He knows that he's got to continue to remind us, doesn't he? So sweetly. We know that we are quick to unbelief. We're quick even, and it was sweet to fellowship with a sister again today. It's hard to get over our past. It's hard to really forget those things which are behind. But he can do that, and he can encourage us, and he gives us that vision and shows us, honeys, reach, press towards this. This is your life. These are the things, praise God, that you must have victory over. And thanking God that he brings us this way and moves us along. But he tells her over and over how beautiful she is to him. But it's even more elevated now, because there's been more transformation in her life as she's gone into the depths of this intimacy that is only found and only happens in the mountains of lions and leopards. Let's go ahead and read verses 9 and 10 again as we get started. This is after she has taken that place and looking from all of those mountaintops. In verse 8, he says, from the lion's dens and the mountains of the leopards. And what does he tell her immediately after that? Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You become my double portion because you're taking this place. Know it. Let him speak these things to you. Be bold in what grace has done in your life. Did you hear that? Be bold in what grace has done in your life. But don't stop. Let it go on. Understand how beautiful grace is. Delight in the grace of God as he tells you how beautiful you are to him. Sure, we say, well, Lord, it was all you. And then it's even more beauty, because it's the transformation of the grace of God in our lives. And he goes on to say, My sister, my spouse, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse! How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Isn't that wonderful? How sweet. This is going into the depths of the intimacy with the Lord. Brother Hill used to say it like this, and I know some would just shudder and shake and get embarrassed and, oh, what's he talking about? But he says she is finally making love to him. And praise be to God, I can honestly say I am just beginning to see this and experience it with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Finally, that word knowledge is breaking through to my heart of what he's meant all along. And thanking God for that. So, now, we read last week, the bridegroom, as we just read in 9 and 10, he glories in being able to call her now, my sister, my spouse. And as we start tonight, she has truly become the double portion, not only to him, but the entire Godhead. And that's what's so beautiful here. Sister, remember this, it means the same Father. And thank the Lord that we do have the same Father as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For now are we the sons of God. Isn't that precious? And I thank the Lord that sonship is the same. So we have the same Father. And then the word spouse, well, praise God, even just the meaning on the surface, you don't have to dig that far. A wife, well, you know exactly what that means. But in, praise God, this wonderful Hebrew, this word in Hebrew actually has a double meaning. Not only does it mean wife, but this word spouse means daughter-in-law. So we see, praise God, that not only are we a double portion to our lover, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we're a double portion to the Father. And how wonderful to be a child of God, and as we grow up, to be a daughter-in-law. How precious is that? Knowing that from every angle, we are all glorious, truly a double portion as we go on in Paul's gospel to the entire Godhead. And that's what God has given us to take. Know how precious we are to him. Thank him for what, again, love wherewith we are loved. But now, going on, let this get your attention here in verse 11. I think he intentionally leaves out sister because he really wants to hit it on the head with you. And he's going to just really emphasize spouse here because the bridegroom is looking at you. He says to her in verse 11, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Boy, I'll tell you what, how things have grown, not just changed, but remember how we started with the Song of Solomon? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I think it's coming right back at her, isn't it? Hallelujah. How precious this is. You talk about a love story. You talk about how he can't even contain himself anymore. It's just, honey, what's dripping from your mouth, this precious ointment to me. But this is how wonderful. He speaks again of her lips. He spoke of them in chapter 3, but this time they drop with the honeycomb. And that word drop means to preach, to speak what's coming forth out of her. And one of the precious things about a honeycomb is when a honeycomb gets really, really hot, it sweats. It drips. And these drops are called sweat. And the sweat off of the honeycomb is actually sweeter than any of the honey. And praise the Lord. Let us take that from this, is that as we are put into the furnace and as we suffer for his name's sake, it's going to come forth out of our lives sweeter than the honeycomb to him. And he wants to taste of this and feed of this and how this is encouraging to him. And I thank God that, again, how useful we are to the husband. Remember, that's what the word vessel means, adding to the usefulness of the husband. This is who she is. He is, I'll tell you, he's ravished by her. He's pleased. God wants to be pleased. And this is how God is pleased, that his son has a lover. And that's what's so sweet about this age. Think about it. What is this age? God says, well, I've sent forth my Holy Ghost. And who's the Holy Ghost searching for? My spirit. He's searching for the true worshiper, isn't he? The true one. And what's that worshiper? The true one who draws nigh in fervent love to kiss my son. That's the one I'm looking for, who worship him in spirit and in truth. How wondrous. Isn't that just so sweet? That it's the one that's going to worship him in spirit. That's the love shed abroad in our hearts. Isn't it wonderful? And we know that that's got to also be of the spirit. It's going to be in the whole counsel of God. It's going to be in all truth. But brothers and sisters, that's why as we started off tonight, may that joy only increase. The one who wins finishes with a full joy. Amen? Always remember that. God help us never to grow cold in knowledge. Knowledge alone will just make you cold. But the knowledge in the Spirit, that's when it gets intimate. That's when it gets exciting. That's when you'll face things with him and you'll say, oh my goodness, we're just together. What's it matter? Praise God. Amen? That's the lovers. That's the lovers. And I thank the Lord in encouraging young couples and then ones that come back in. Remember, why did you get married in the first place? I'm talking to those two. It wasn't to get house payments and car payments and all of these different things that we can fuss and fight about and all of that. Never forget, we got in love because we got married because we were so madly in love, we could not help but be together. Magnify it, you do, but continue on. That's the beauty. Amen? That's the beauty of it all. And I thank the Lord that that is what he's giving to us. But see, brothers and sisters, it's in this furnace that the gold, praise God, that's tried in the fire, it's more valuable to him. And he receives this from her. And this is the virtuous woman. As the word of God says, the heart of her husband does trust. It rests in her. Go on over to 1 Kings with me. And if you recall, as we started out in this study, it was very precious how we saw that Abishag is the one that this most likely refers to as this Shulamite, this bride or wife for Solomon that he's speaking of here. And as we studied on Abishag, remember it was Solomon's brother that said, oh, come on, I just want her. And even mom came in and said, oh, come on, this is your brother, just give me. And he loved her so much, they just didn't get it. Nobody really even saw it. See, it was hidden almost, really. They were just ignorant to it. If I don't have her, I don't have my kingdom. You don't get it. And for what he asked, his life was taken. There wasn't anything that was going to touch that love. That's you. Did you know that? Did you know that? Do you know he's holding it all back for you right now? You're just hindering everything, the Word of God says. And a lot of people in life let you know that you're just hindering everything. You make this workplace real hard to be in. Boy, mom and dad, you make this house hard for me to live in. You're just a hinderer. But until he who hinders is taken out of the way, that old enemy is not going to be able to come in full force. The same thing here. You see it over and over how precious this is. Now let's read about her again. Remember, we were just talking about the heat, right? So remember that, the heat of the honeycomb and how it drips. Let's read the first four verses of 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king. And notice the requirements. She had to stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Isn't that wonderful? Now, who do you think this was? Well, let's read on. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel. This was an important find here, wasn't it? You'd think, well, wait a second, he was cold. Why didn't they just go get the first one they saw? Because it wasn't going to work that way, was it? This was for the king. This is the one that was going to create heat. Hallelujah. So they sought throughout all the coasts of Israel and found, oh my, look who they found. Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair. That means beyond them all. And here's what she did. She cherished the king. And look at that. She ministered to him. But the king knew her not. How wonderful. We know that that word knew, that David never had that intimacy in a sense with her. We know that that was for the son. Just as, praise God, we're God's children. But that intimacy and that relationship is for the bride with his son. See how appropriate the word of God is? Isn't it just wonderful? It's magnificent, isn't it? Isn't it just perfect from every angle? People like to get icky and weird and all of these different things. This is my God. And he's perfect. And he's exact. And he's in the details. And the word of God makes no mistakes. Doesn't second guess itself. It doesn't contradict itself. Rightfully divided truth. There is nothing that can compare. There's no other thing that is perfect. The word of God is. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Let it encourage you. Goes on to say in our Song of Solomon here, back into the 11th verse. It says, and honey and milk are under her tongue. This speaks of what is in her heart. Hallelujah. This is the hidden part, okay? And thank God for this. But also this honey and milk, it speaks of the promised land. If you remember Canaan. And Canaan, where the land that flowed with milk and honey, what Canaan means is the glory of all the lands. It's the most glorious. She's the most glorious. He keeps encouraging her, doesn't he? Honey, you're so preeminent in my heart and in my sight and everything. I just want you to get this. I mean, this guy just can't get over it, can he? It's not one love letter. It's not 10 ways, let me count the ways. It's infinite. And it's throughout the whole word of God. But how wondrous that it's in this precious letter to us that Paul's gospel so reveals to our hearts. Not just a story. This is our, praise God, proposal. This is the Lord speaking to us. But see, it says that it's the Canaan is the glory of all the lands. Ezekiel 26 tells you that. She's the choice one. Her heart is the daughter that excels them all. She is like him. And the reason I can say that in this is she is like him is David said this same thing of the Lord in Psalm 19:10. He said that you're sweeter than the honeycomb. She's like him. Praise God. Those attributes are the same because it is his life. The reason someday she descends from heaven having the glory of God is because it's all him. He's the only glory there is. But she's got him. She's got it. And she's got it so much that her light, she's got him. Her light. Praise the Lord. It's not some different light. It's him, but it's hers. It's not a reflected moon glory, is it? Right? Moon's amazing, but it's a reflected glory. That's most. But the sun glory, praise God, is within. It's a light itself, but it's him. Praise God. It's always the sun. Whether you look at it S-U-N or S-O-N, it's the sun glory. Praise God. All right. And then it goes on to say, in the smell of her garments, oh my, the fragrance of the flowers, the plants, the fruits, the cedars, the pines, the fir trees. That's all the description of Lebanon. It was just so abundant in its perfume. Speaks of how fruitful she is. And again, never forget the meaning of Lebanon. It means the glorious, glorified whiteness. And especially speaking of the bridal ground, the bride, and that precious gown that she will be clothed in. It's so wondrous. But going on in verse 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now, dear hearts, I'll tell you what, she shut up to him. This is truly 2 Timothy 2:21. She is the vessel that is set aside only for the master's use. And I'll tell you again, a lot of times people just don't even get it. They don't understand. And I'm talking about Christians. Just like with Martha and all of them that were so busy, they didn't realize that Mary had chosen the best place. And the Lord didn't want her bothered. You guys just keep doing what you're doing. I just want you to know she's got the best place. But whatever you're going to do, I guess you got to do. But don't bother her. It's just like with this, as we just read about Abishag. She was sought out. And it was for that special purpose. She was the only one that could give him heat. And you would just read that. And again, think about what we read back there in 1 Kings. You'd think, well, anybody would have given him heat. Not the heat that he needed. It had to be the damsel that would stand before him, that would cherish him. See those words? See, you understand what I'm saying? It's not just, well, I'll go in and help, I'll assist, and that type of thing. I'm talking about adored and loved and cherished. And that's kind of an interesting thought as well, too. How could this young little damsel, this virgin girl that was the fairest of them all, how could it be that she would cherish an old guy? And it wasn't for his money. Because she loved him. She loved the king. She loved who he was. She knew what that meant. And she loved him. Honored and did whatever it took. And in that absolute surrender, the privilege to warm the king, he was warmed. Isn't that wonderful? That's who we are to him. And it's not for anything but we just cherish him. Isn't that sweet? Yes, that's the grace of God. That's the love, again, that the Lord so emphasizes in how, again, we grow pleasing to him. But what we just read here in verse 12, it's so sweet. There's three things that it says here about her. She is enclosed, she is shut up, and she is sealed. Now, that's some pretty incredible stuff. And notice, it's three. Sounds like a Trinity work to me. How about you? Well, you go through this and you think about this. The first description it says there is she is enclosed. And yes, in the hand of the Father, we're enclosed. How precious. We're enclosed and kept. Shut up, locked. It cannot be taken out. And then the shut up, again, that is so speaking of throughout the Word of God that our heart is shut up to him. That's even going on. Now it's to the Son. There's a love there. And then finally, the word sealed. How many times do we see that in the Word of God referring to the Holy Ghost? The sealing there. And how wonderful that we know that in the sealing that the Holy Ghost can work in the bride, we're talking about a betrothed to Jesus in love. And then, looking at the same verse, it says that she is a garden that is shut up to him. And a garden of every fruit she has become to him, which is just amazing as we're going to begin to read here. But even more, she is a garden, she is a spring, and she is a fountain. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, in these little verses, they're packed with so much, we could just spend eternity on each one. But this garden here, it literally means a bride. The garden refers to as a bride. And that's what that meaning is in the Old Testament Hebrew. So she is a bride to him. Well, I'll tell you what, we would have had to be completely asleep in the last four chapters to not get that one. Amen? I don't know what else I mean. We haven't gotten it by now. Well, I know he still can help you. But you have just got to wake up because he's been saying it the whole time. So we understand that the garden is the bride. Then it says that she is a spring. And the spring here is a well, is what this means. And he has transformed her And she is transformed so much that he's tasting from her mouth. And you think about, again, what she has become to him, the usefulness, the encouragement that we are to Jesus Christ as we take from the Holy Ghost and take those things of Christ and make them mine as he shows those things to you. How much this means to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we know that truly, and we'll touch on this here in a moment, but she completes him. And finally, it says she is a fountain. And that word fountain means the greatest joy, the greatest pleasure, and the greatest delight. She's the greatest. She's the preeminent. She is the top. Just as he has become her preeminent love, so she has transformed in that to him as well. And thank God for this reciprocal relationship that continues on, all because of the love of God. This is her understanding, and she's really beginning to get this. His desire is toward me. I have become the good pleasure of his will to him. How precious, and thanking God that this is our life and what we live for. Now, the next three verses that we come to here are going to specifically define the fruit that comes up from this garden. And this garden in which the Lord feeds. See, he comes in there to feed in this garden. And I love it. You know, and you're going to find out too, brothers and sisters. And remember this in those first couple chapters. She was still worried about everybody else, wasn't she? And see, God had to get her attention. And we have to understand the Lord will use us. But let him do it. Amen? And see, what this is about is he said, look, honey, I don't want you to feed everybody. I want you to feed me. I want to come in and feast on your garden. You see this? This isn't worrying about, well, I'm going to go out and do this for the world and do this for everybody here. This is about the Lord. And I thank God, even in this ministry and in giving out the word of God, this is unto the Lord. This is unto him. What he does with it for you, by God's grace, and he sure gives me a love for it and a love for you, but he gives the increase, doesn't he? Amen? By the grace of God, I want him to come and feed in the garden that grace has made in my life. And in that, oh, how the spices and everything will flow out. Praise God, see? And may we understand that so sweetly. He'll do it all. We just want to have that intimacy with him. And then how wondrous we'll be used of God. But these are the qualities of a readied wife in 13, 14, and 15. Let's go ahead and read them. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Praise the Lord. Really, oh, hitting this, highlighting it, repeating it, making sure it is known. Again, the line upon line and line upon line. Again, it's just love, 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 and beauty, beauty, beauty. But as we get into this, first of all, we see in 13, thy plants. This word plants, it means weapons. Isn't that something? I love that. This means weapons. And I told you, see, she's a lover and she's a warrior. She's a fighter. And these plants are weapons. And praise God. And it's an orchard of pomegranates. Do you remember what the pomegranates are? They speak of crowns, right? And we know that because, remember, in the tabernacle, when they would make the pillars, on the top of all of the pillars were the pomegranates. Those were the crowns on top of the pillars. And then how sweet that is, again, in what the Lord has told us about the Church of Philadelphia, that church that represents the bridal company that will be spared going into the tribulation, the ones that will be caught up together with him in the air. Praise God. It speaks of them, I will make thee pillars in the house of the Lord. So here's the pillars in that crown. And as God tells us in that same portion of Scripture there in Revelation about Philadelphia, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. They're the crown company, hallelujah. And they hold that crown fast. They don't let that crown go. They don't cast that crown. They don't. Believe it or not, it's a wedding ring. My wife doesn't want me to be throwing this around. The Lord don't want you to be throwing that around. You're going to wear that crown. You're going to be thankful for that crown. That crown is the queen's. And even in the natural, as natural royalty is, It would be the greatest of disrespect to the king if the queen would ever remove her crown. Amen. That humility goes on right now. Amen. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that we take that from God as we go along. But the pomegranates are the crowns on the pillars. Now, how can the crowns, in a sense, be weapons? Well, it's because they're the victories as well. Praise the Lord. That speaks of the full overcomer. Amen. And I thank God that, see, she stands there in everything she faces. By the grace of God, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen. There isn't anything we've come to that he hasn't already won the battle. So that's why it's a company of them crowns. Praise God. And there it's plentiful. It's a forest of them. And we thank the Lord for it. But that's why it's all to his glory. And then this pleasant fruits that we have next. It just builds upon itself. This means the noble, the sun glory fruits. And notice as all of these things are coming together now, they're not just set alone. They're all put together. This and this and this and this and this and this. All of these fruits are one. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Many parts of it, but it's one fruit. And I thank God again how he brings this to us, that it's all inclusive. As these things come forth, the Holy Ghost works all of these in us. Now, the next one is the camphor. This represents when a woman would grow to the right of womanhood, when she would become mature, ready to be taken as a wife, speaks of fertility. And what they would do with this camphor is they would crush it up and it would become these beautiful colors. They could mix them. And the women would put these on, paint their fingernails and their toenails. And it was also a fragrance that would all be pleasing to a husband. For courtship, all of that, again, to be pleasing to the man. And how precious to God that we would be pleasing to him. And again, for that, what that would speak of. And then it says with the spikenard. And the spikenard is a spice that's found only in the mountain heights. Well, this is where she's been, and this is where she's been dwelling. How wonderful. And there's something about the spikenard which is really interesting here. The root of the spikenard actually has the spikes. That's where it comes from. And it's actually in those spikes that they squeeze those spikes, and there's this very amazing perfume oil that comes forth out of those spikes. Now, you can think of our wonderful Lord and Savior's crowning, all of the different things about the suffering. Again, this is Jesus Christ and how his whole life it was anointed with the spikenards. You know, as all throughout his life, speaking again of the sufferings. And brothers and sisters, we anoint him as we're suffered, as we suffer together with him, as we go into these sufferings, we anoint the Lord. And I pray that you can see that tonight, is these things that you're being brought into your life and these different trials that you're going through. And the Bible has even set it up in our natural body, is that, you know, we age. We do. We die daily. And it just happens. But the inward man is renewed as we go on with the Lord. There's more joy. There's more life. There's more the young roebuck, as the Word of God tells us, in that life that really is falling more and more in love with Jesus Christ. And that's why I do. I love so all the saints, but especially our older saints that have not stopped, that the joy unspeakable and full of glory just is keeping going up and up. Up and up and up. You talk about a testimony, and I thank God. That's why we so love the elders that we have, that God has given us. Then it goes on to say spikenard with saffron. Saffron was used as a medicine and also as flavoring. There was something interesting about saffron, though. It was sweet. It has a sweet smell, but it can also be bitter to the stomach. And praise God, this is what she is. This is who she is. She freely and vigorously consumes the Word of God and gladly endures its effects. And then you think about that when you, as a Christian, as you do feed upon the Word of God, and you know as you go on with God that there's going to be joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ, what a salve it is, what a medicinal quality it is to the whole body. Isn't it wonderful? You know, the Word of God tells us that. You know, as you're going through these trials, and by the grace of God, you're laying hold of the Lord. And through it all, what a testimony you are to the family of God. What a salve you are to the body of Christ. Amen. And praise God. Don't think that those things that you're going through are not for the body of Christ. They certainly are. And we thank God again that we're all touched with it. And praise God for that fight of faith. Then it goes on to say the calamus. Now the calamus is a tall red hollow grass. So it's a grass stalk. And it's hollow, and it's red. And I think of all of the qualities that was just mentioned there. And it was used for measuring. They would measure things with this grass. It was sturdy. But first of all, it talks about it being red. And again, how sweet anything will ever be is because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? It's on us. Praise God. And anything will ever be is always the grace of God. Every look, every gaze, and she is affixed upon the blood, upon the mercy seat. That's the cherubim. That's the bridal saint that's always looking at the grace of God. Then it says that it's a hollowed piece of grass. And I love that because we do have to be hollowed out for him to fill everything. Amen? He must increase and I must decrease. Again, it's so perfect in every bit of its description of what God is doing and all of this fruit that's found in her garden that he will come and feast upon. How sweet this is. So, again, that's so precious. And then that it speaks here of that this grass is a measuring tool. Because of the fact that it's all the blood of the Lord, because of the fact that it's all him that fills her, praise be to God, she's filled with all the fullness of God, amen, then she becomes an example, amen, there is, mark her, that's who you mark, because why? Because she must have followed Paul as he followed Christ, praise God, there it is, again, just in one little thing that he'll bring out. He'll bring the whole story of the divine purpose of God in a little blade of grass. Isn't that amazing? I thank God how he does this. And again, thinking of this in ages past to write to us that he knew of this night that the Holy Ghost would be ministering this to our hearts, brothers and sisters, that thank you, Jesus, you love me like this. I get it. Hallelujah. That this did not pass me by. Hallelujah. But then it was so sweet. They took this calamus, they took this grass, that all of these different uses for it, and then it would be crushed. And in that crushing, what came forth was used in the anointing oil. They used other spices and fruits and different things of that nature that we'll read about here as well too. But it made the anointing oil. And that's in, you'll read about that in Exodus 30. And the anointing oil, which was so sweet, they would anoint the priests. They would anoint the tabernacle, and they would anoint everything in the tabernacle with that oil. That oil was all over the place. Praise be to God. Do you see what an encouragement we are to the whole Godhead when we allow the Word of God to fully grow up in our lives? I just think what an anointing, praise God, we are to the throne of God. What he can do in us, brothers and sisters, what we can anoint. And we anoint the high priest. We anoint his feet. And to everything in the tabernacle in heaven. By taking in Paul's gospel, what does it say in Colossians 1:25? We complete the word of God. Paul's gospel completes the word of God. Amen? And that's just not words. That's that Paul's gospel alive and working and fervently alive in vessels. That's what completes Jesus. Amen? That's what gives him, praise God, that place someday to take the throne as God. Praise God. That is so wondrous. And then think about this as well, too. In completing the Word of God, it includes Christ the head and also Christ's body. Now, wouldn't that make sense? Because in the Old Testament, those worthies of faith that I love to read about and rejoice in and live truly as that Word of God lives. But without us, they cannot be made perfect. That word also means complete. How precious. All there. And again, all there in the Song of Solomon as well too. But again, he brings it out over and over in all of these different ways. And all I can say to that is, wow. I just sit here and he, you know, ministers this stuff to us. And I'm telling you, it comes fast. You know how this is. And you're just going, oh my goodness. Do I get to catch my breath? You just can't help it. And I get giddy like that. My wife often tells me, she said, honey, you've got to slow down. And they really, even in giving out the word of God, I don't mean to go too fast, but it just, you know. And I thank God for it. So praise the Lord, how the Spirit leads. Then we got the cinnamon. We'll move along here. That's more anointing oil than was used in the anointing oil. More perfume. And I think, my goodness, honey, you're just such a knockout. But he makes you all pungent to him. Remember, this is God. He wants to be pleased. God wants to be pleasured. And I'll tell you what, she's ravishing. She is stunning. Isn't that something? The Father sure loved his Son. He wanted, you know, I heard the different ministers and different ones talk about, you know, Eve and how stunning she was and everything. And they'll joke about it to Adam. And she was beautiful. But she can't compare to this one. She cannot compare. This one is beyond. Hallelujah. But it goes on to say about the trees of frankincense, the myrrh, the aloes. All of those were used in burning incense on the altar. Completely speaks of the sufferings again of Christ. And brothers and sisters, she has jointly entered into that with him. She has taken that place as his wounded side up on that cross, that rib portion that was pierced with him. All of these things, the type, the beauty, the ministering of the Holy Ghost to us, honeys. She's been there all the time with him. She suffers together with him jointly. And then finally, in that 14th verse, it says, with all the chief spices. He doesn't let it go. I mean, he'll keep hitting it. This chief spices, it means literally the height, the stars, the choicest of the spices. It means the head company. It means the sum of it all. That's what this word, praise the Lord, chief means. Again, they cannot be made perfect without her. Anything and everything she is lovely to him. And this means, once again, to the head Christ and to the body, she is altogether ravishing. I just thank God for that. Finally, in verse 15, a fountain of gardens. Remember about gardens? That means the bride. And again, this fountain of, it means she's the greatest joy, pleasure, delight of all the chaste women. She's it. And God is, again, letting the Holy Ghost know this is what the word of his grace can be making us to him in our lives. A well of living waters. This means flowing from the rock. Everything she is flows from the rock. It's all Jesus. And that flowing from the rock, it means alive. Obviously, the word of his grace. Finally, you get the streams from Lebanon. And that means, again, that Lebanon, that glorified whiteness, that radiance, brilliance of sun glory, again, that flows out of this life, this glory. I'll tell you what, he's in love with her. He is absolutely head over heels in love with her. And God help us to take this to heart. And finally, we'll close it up tonight, but she gets it. That's what's so important, brothers and sisters. Not for us to just kind of read through this and be excited about it, but get it for you. Get this. Take it. Accept it. Receive it. He said it so. This is as simple as taking salvation. It really is. It's all by the grace of God. It is. How deep is salvation? I've said that before to you. Explain to me all about the basic of the seed, the grain, the size of a mustard seed that saved you. How a very God would leave the throne of glory, become a man, become a worm on a cross and die for you. Huh? That's not beyond deep? Nothing's hard for God. Take this. The whole counsel of God. As Brother Paul said, I'm not going to withhold a thing from you. It's not a popular thing with a lot of people. They think you're crazy, and eventually they do lock you up. But you're already enclosed and shut up and completely his alone. Praise God. But see, her eyes were enlightened with understanding now. Those five mountaintops did it. The place of suffering could develop this. And so what does she say finally in verse 16? She finally speaks to him. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, how wonderful. What she's saying here is, you know what? All your north wind, all your cold stuff, all them cold, icy trials and icy times, come blow all over me. Oh, and by the way, south wind too. And I'll tell you what, the south wind can be kind of burning, can it? So don't just think this is the warm, oh, it's just on my face. I'm talking about scorch times. And she says, oh, I don't want to miss those either. Come and blow on me too. Give me all the lions and give me all the leopards, and all the spices will flow out. This ravishes my love because I am his garden. I'm his. I'm not mine. My garden is his. I'm not my own. I am his, and he eats the most pleasant fruit. Isn't that wonderful? And that pleasant means the most desirable. And she gets it, for I am his desire. I want to read how Paul says it in closing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is exactly what he's saying here. That this precious Shulamite, she's been to the tops. Remember, he gave her the vision that I'm coming for you. Remember the chariot and taking her home and the end of the third, or end of that third chapter? And then he goes back and he says, now I want you to know this is all what you have and this is what you'll have with me, but you haven't apprehended yet. You're beautiful to me, honey, but now we got to go to the mountaintops. And here's how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read from verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, speaking of himself. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, for us to see what Song of Solomon is talking about, you got to go to the third heaven. And I believe he's taking you there. Don't deny it. The Holy Ghost will take you there. Amen? Amen. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. See, he's going to glory in that man. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Have you had the abundance of the revelations, brothers and sisters? I believe you have. I believe you have. If you've got Paul's gospel, you've got it. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Kind of sound like your life? Praise the Lord for that precious buffeting. Amen. Yes, come on. This is you. It's not just alone for Paul. He said you're going to suffer just as me, didn't he? Let the Holy Ghost put all the Word of God together for you. Amen. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Boy, I've been there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How powerful is that grace, huh? Encouraging you all along the way, in your failure, in your shortcomings, in your weakness. Things that, oh Lord, I knew so much better. Oh, that's the power of Christ resting on you when he comes in. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. But it's amazing, brothers and sisters. The Song of Solomon didn't end in the fourth chapter. She's still got to fight on. And can you imagine with all that ravishing and all of that lovemaking, and that's what it is. In this next fifth chapter, she's going to get distracted again. Shame on us, huh? But you know what? He never leaves her, does he? Doesn't. And I'll tell you what, that glorious fifth chapter, by the time that's over, she's gone. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.